Morning.
Morning.
How's everybody this morning? As you all know, well, most of you know, I'm J.T. Brown. Brother Larry asked me to speak a little bit this morning. My dad is a Primitive Baptist preacher. He has been my whole life. I guess I went to church my whole life until I was 18. And then when I turned 18, I left. And, excuse me. I went out. Excuse me. I went out and I enjoyed the world. I enjoyed the sin. I joined the Marine Corps, and I loved it. Loved everything about it. Loved the companionship of the Marines. But I was always missing something in my life. I was away from the church for 15 years. And thought that, excuse me, I thought I was too far gone to come back. Because everything I've done. And you don't want to know everything I've done. And I won't tell you. But I realized it's never too late to come back. Never. You know, I started, you got to forgive me. A couple of years ago, I started going to what's called a cowboy church with my family. And it was nice to go to church with my family. But it wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I knew it. And it really hit me hard when my little girl joined that church, because I knew that I failed as a father, because that's not where she was supposed to be. It's not where my family was supposed to be. We're here because we know the truth. We're a small group of people that realize that we were predestinated before the beginning. And ever since she joined the church, it's been heavy on my heart to figure something out. But I didn't. I let it go again. And over this past summer, I started going to different meetings, different places. And I went down to Houston this past time, in Spring Grove. And it's like every preacher there was preaching directly to me. You know, I told God, I said, there's a lot of other people in this church. But it didn't matter. He's preaching to me. And I want to read this because it hit very, very hard. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And that hit hard. Isn't it wonderful to know that's one thing in this world we can't mess up? Isn't that wonderful? I've done nothing but mess up. And Brother Buster last week was talking about praying for other people. And I had felt that people were praying for me. And so I went home and I prayed. And I studied. And it brought me back to Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And Brother Larry was talking about last week about being a good servant. And I wasn't. I wasn't being a good servant to God. I wasn't being a good father figure for my children. And last week, I didn't even know I was going to join the church. But God put it in my heart to join. And so I did. And let me tell you, after joining the church, I started a construction company October of last year. It's been rough. It's been real rough. It's been a rough start. But I wasn't doing it God's way. I was doing it my way. Let me tell you, after joining the church last week, my company got to be a vendor in two plants that I've been trying to get into for a year. And they're really, it's really big. It's really huge. One's a steel mill, one's a sand plant. And just those two companies can boost my company to the next level. And it's all God. It's all His grace and mercy. He says to follow Him. And that's what I'm going to try to start doing. That's what I have not been doing. Thank you, Brother.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take us home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow sings my soul, my Savior, unto thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, unto thee. How great thou art.
Said this morning, and thankful that Brother JT has come to us. And I just got to tell you this. Years ago, and those that have been around for a while know that, but our church had fallen off in number, and nobody was mad at anybody. It was a purging, and we didn't know at the moment that it started exactly what it was. But the Lord was preparing us as a church family for a commitment that probably some would not want to make. And so they left. And we got down to just a few in number. And I remember Sister Swindell come in one Sunday. And it was the scariest time when Sister Swindell would come in, because she'd come right straight to me. She had a question, and we were close enough she could ask me just about anything. But she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "The Lord's preparing us for good things. The Lord is preparing us to develop something that probably we're not doing at this time." And what it turned out to be was we weren't praying hard enough for everybody. And so what we started praying was, "Lord, send us those that are hurt. Send us those that are bruised. Send us those that need people to pray for them and to love on them. And Lord, as you're sending them, prepare us to minister unto them." And that's happened from probably 12, 14 years ago until today. And some of you may wonder, "Well, why in the world am I here?" Well, it's because we've been praying for you, and the Lord has brought you here. And to develop further the love that we have for the Lord and for each other, and commit that we will pray for each other. I pray this is of the Lord. I've had a change of heart, change of mind about what I was going to speak about this morning, but where I want to go this morning is found in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it's one of those chapters that if you just read over it and you don't kind of get into it, you will miss what the chapter is all about. The chapter is about repentance. The chapter is about change. It has always bothered me when I hear someone say, I just am what I am, I can't change. Well, that's a cop-out. You can change. You can change. With the blessing of the Lord, you can change. It's just that. And the Lord wants us to change in positive manner. And I'll tell you this about the Lord, and this is what I have found out, and I'm sure that probably you have also. He's a God of second chances. If He convicted us on the first chance that errors that we've made in our life, none of us would be here today. But He's a loving God, and He sees us. And I'll tell you this, not necessarily to preach the gospel, but when He wants you closer, you'll get closer, or you'll pay for not getting closer. He's a God of repentance. He begs us to repent. Repentance just simply means to turn away from the things that so easily hold our mind and go back to the solid things. I want to go down to the third situation that's found in this, and it's very familiar, and I have not read over it in months, but as a good friend of mine in Georgia said, we are where we are. So We're going to try to go with what he's given us this morning. Look with me just a little bit for the 11th verse 15 chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is saying these words. And these words are an event that happened. This is not a fable. This is not fictitious. This is something that occurred, and he has captured it and desires at this moment to bring it forward. Here's how it starts. So the man had two sons, blessed man. And the younger of the sons said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Now, look at that in spirit real closely. Very obviously, had the younger son, the older son. Younger son says, as young sons say when they get to a certain age, "I want what's mine. I want what's mine." And he said, "Just give me my portion. Give me what I do." And the father, being a good father, he gave it to both sons. The one son, here's his situation. 13th verse. "Not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I think there comes a time in every young person's life that they're thinking in their mind, it's got to be better somewhere. There's got to be less restraint somewhere. There's got to be an ability to do what I want to do somewhere, and I want to find out where that somewhere is. And I would imagine the young son was a lot like that. Maybe he'd gotten tired of the rules, regulations of the household. Maybe he had gotten tired of being told, this is what you have to do, this is how you have to do it. And maybe it just finally got to the point that he just said, "I've had enough of that. I had enough of it. You just give me what's mine, and I'll go out there and I'll make something of myself." That's all well and good if God is in the matter. I love it. I just sometimes just get beside myself when I hear someone say I want to be this or I want to be that, and never have the understanding or the thought in their heart or mind, what does the Lord want me to do? In those situations, I have seen men that have been in school for years and years to become a lawyer, and once they become a lawyer, to find out that's really not what they wanted. It really wasn't. In those situations, our happiness comes doing what the Lord desires us to do. Now, Brother Webb, how in the world do you find out that? Well, you've got to have a close commitment to Him. You have to have a dedication to be close to Him where you can hear, feel, and understand the direction He has for you to go. You see, I believe in a personal relationship between God's children and Himself. Now, I don't believe that relationship personally has anything to do with an acceptance or denial to obtain heaven and immortal glory. I don't believe that at all. But I believe that He desires us to be happy. I believe He desires us to have the very best in this life. I believe that He desires us to live a life where we are committed to Him, where our ways are committed to His ways. Stop and think, all of you this morning, no matter the age, are you happy in your situation right now? Are you happy in that? Is everything going your way, and you have everything just balled up with a pretty package and a bow, and everything's great? I doubt that there's one person that can say this morning, it's all going the way I want it to go. But if we're happy in the Lord, it will. If we're in a commitment with Him that says, "Lord, You take my life, You take what I do, You take what I'm about, You take it, Father, and mold it and make me what You want me to be." There's a relationship there that only comes from Him, and that personal relationship is actually something we should all be desirous about. Young man wanted his portion. The father gave it to him and his brother, and away he went. And look at the good life. Enjoy the good things. Enjoy the things that were just all about him. What many days that is a journey in a far country. Now notice this. He left his home and he went to a foreign country. The further he went from the love of his father, the worse things got. The further he went from the dedication and the warmth of home, the further he went, the worse things got. Has that ever happened in your life? Just went on, and you thought everything was fine, and all of a sudden, it just hit you, and you understood it's not what I thought it was going to be. And he spent everything he had for riotous living. What does that mean? That means he spent everything he has in riotous living. You don't have to have the Greek or the Hebrew to understand that. Every penny that he had was gone, and he lived it. He spent it on nothing more than just cotton candy. It's just right there. Just grabbed it and it was gone. And next thing you know, everything that he has is gone. Young people in the congregation this morning, may I tell you this, and I tell you in sincerity, in the household that you're in right now, if it's filled with love, and your father and your mother are supplying for you what they can, and your father and mother, or if it's a lone parent, if your parent is pointing you toward things that are solid, you're a blessed individual. If your parent is pointing you toward things that will matter in this life, things that will show positive results, you're a blessed individual. I know that it's just human nature for us just to want to break those bonds and break those bands and say, I want to be on my own. I want to do it my way. Man, let me tell you, friend, your way is the wrong way. My way is the wrong way. The only way that's right is His way. His way. Young man spent everything he had. Nothing else. And he found employment. We got to understand, this young man was a Jew. He came from a Jewish household. It was set in worshiping the Lord. It was set in following the law. It was set in a religious situation. And yours might be somewhat like that. Your father and mother, they may have you in church on every Sunday morning. Brother JT and I, we had one thing in common. We were both preacher's kids. And unless you were a preacher's kid, you don't understand what I'm talking about. I mean, this is just to the PKs in the congregation. I felt your pain. I knew about it. On Sunday mornings, I never once thought when my dad come in to shake my bed to say, I'm not going today. You know, I wouldn't possibly pay that price. Going to church was just what we did. It wasn't any questions about it. It was never one time asked, how do you feel this morning? Do you feel like going to church? No. No, unless you were bleeding profusely or terribly sick and it was visible, not just mental, it was that then possibly you might get a relief. But if it wasn't like that, you're going to church. And may I tell you today, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Young people in the congregation, just for an hour and a half on Sunday mornings, look at the time we spend doing what we want to do. Look at the time we spend that. And when I say we, I'm talking about me. Look at the time I spend in things that just don't matter. But for 1.5 hours a week, I come to church and I worship Him. May I tell you, friends, if that's all we do, if that's our commitment to the Lord, we have shortchanged Him. Amen. He deserves more. He deserves more from us. He deserves us. us in meditation to Him. He deserves us in reading the Scriptures to learn more about Him. We ought to know more about Him in the morning than we know about Him today. It ought to be a cumulative, that it just builds up. Just builds up. And may I tell you, no matter how young you are, you're not too young to start. You're not too young to start. Young man and I talking yesterday, and it's as a minister, you realize sometimes when people are converted and there's a change in their life, and sometimes they want to call it being born again, and when that's not it at all, they just have hit a wall, and the Lord just peeled them off of it and made something better. But a young man talking to me yesterday about the different versions of the Bible, and he said, That King James, it's just hard to read. I said, you know, that's a positive thing. That's not a bad thing. You take some version that's been watered down and been changed to the point that all of the fruitful message of it is gone. Friend, that's wasted time. But here's the word that means something. And if thee and thou gets in your way, friend, you're not spending enough time in it. Just not. Young man spent everything he had. Nothing else. He found employment. 14th verse. And when he had spent all, you know, Brother Bob Mize and all, we used to get in discussions about the smallest words. All, if, but, and. You know, there's lots of things in there. All means what? It means all. He didn't have anything else. He didn't have another penny. He had spent it all. And he found employment. And look at the employment that he found. He spent all. Rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know, it was amazing what Brother JT said about the situation, about how the Lord blessed him this week with increase. You know, that's not an accident. That just didn't happen. That wasn't circumstance. That was a blessing from God. And what it tells us is we do what He says, He'll do what He says. You come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give it to you. You know what that also says? You're not going to get it unless you do. It's not going to be functional in your life. Spend everything you had on riotous living. Big famine in the land. You think that's an accident? If a famine comes in the land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he said, and he, the citizen of the country, sent him into his fields to what? To feed swine. I got to tell you something. I was raised in the city. I was born in Greenville, Texas, only because my grandmother and grandfather lived outside of Greenville. Well, I was born there, but I was en route to Dallas, and that's where I spent all my life. And if I was to tell you I was even close to a country boy, I would be in line. But here's how close I got. I had cousins that lived in the country, and I loved spending time with them. Elder Owen Rushing is my cousin, and I got to tell you something about Owen. Owen could throw a corn cob harder and faster and more accurate than anybody I ever know. And I probably have got a scar right up in here somewhere where I felt the wrath of his corn cob. I mean, you wouldn't think a preacher would do that, but he did. Corn cob right there. Teaching him to look around the corner to see what. But all of this to say that we one of the places I hated to go, disdained to go, was the swamp where the pigs were. You know why? They're not very clean. And you know what? They smell terrible. There's not another odor in the world of odors than a pig that is just muddy, filthy, and the aroma that just fills the place. But here's his job. He feeds the pigs. That's his job. And he's good at it. As a matter of fact, as he's feeding the pigs, something occurs to him. He said, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk or the corn cobs or the corn husk. That he was so hungry, so deprived, and by his own actions he was so in need that he would have gone eyeball to eyeball to the pig and fought him for the food. That's where he was. You know what? I've been there. And it wasn't in a farm, and it wasn't in a pig, but it was just in the world. And when we go a long distance from where we have been raised and the good nature that we have been raised in, it gets worse with every mile. He's ready to fight the pigs for something to eat. He said he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's critical. No one cared about him. No one loved him. No one was there to wrap their arms around about him. No one gave any thought to him. But one man did. One man did. And I love the 17th verse. Look at the 17th verse, first part of that. And when he came to himself. Isn't that amazing? He's fighting the pigs for the husk. He's in the swamp. He's in whatever pigs do. He's there and he smells it, and it's all around him and it's all on him. And he is so hungry, so famished, that he's ready to fight the pig for the food. And all of a sudden, something comes to him. Unseen source, unseen thing just came right to him. You know what that is? That's the grace of God, friend. That's God working within us. Have you ever been like that? I got such a problem. I don't know what I'm going to do. How in the world am I going to handle this? How am I going to overcome the obstacles, this one after another, and all of a sudden, here's the plan. And you didn't take a, like I have to do sometimes, take a yellow tablet, and you bite it in half, you put the pros and the cons. You didn't have to do that. It just came. It came from the throne room of God, and God says, here's your out. Here's your path. Here's where you need to go. Here's what you need to do. It came from Him, and He loves us, you, me, that much. I know to some of you, things are hard right now. I know you're going through things that you never thought you would have to go through. Never once crossed your mind several years ago that it would end like this. You never thought that. But you are where you are. And the Lord says, I've got something good for you. I've got something you didn't even know you needed. I've got something that's going to bless your life. I've got something that's going to bring you out of the stench of the pigs. I've got something that's going to come and bring you and set you right down upon a solid foundation. As a matter of fact, I got more than that. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to wash you off. I'm going to make you better than you were. I'm going to bring beauty out of ashes. I'm going to bring you out of hardships. I'm going to bring you out of hard times. I'm going to bring you out of the portion of life that you felt like it never was going to end. I'm going to end it. And I'm going to make it better. And I'm going to give you grace unbelievably. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to give you shadow when it's so hot. I'm going to give you a shelter when the storms are coming. I'm going to draw you close. I'm going to let you feel my presence round about you. And nothing, not the wind, not the rain, not the storm, not the fire, not the things that you fear most, they're not going to have any touch upon you. Why? Because I've got you sheltered just like an eagle shelters from eaglets with its wings. You're under my love and control. You see, friend, that's the way the Lord intended it. We're to have a certain amount of independence in our life. And I love that about people. I love that about young people. But at the same time, let me tell you, friend, our independence should be shadowed by our dependency upon the Lord, upon Him. When he came to himself, now look at what he said. Look at what he felt. He said, when he came to himself, he said out loud, spoke it. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. All of my father's servants, there's not a one of them that don't have all that they need every day. Every one of his servants have bread to spare, and I'm here famishing with hunger. It doesn't seem like it's really a hard decision what needs to happen, does it? And he says this in the 18th verse, I will arise. Nothing greater for a child of grace to be able to say in their life, I realize my position, I realize my need, and I will arise. I'll get up from the muck. I'll get up from the pig den. I'll get up from what I thought I was going to do, because now I have a purpose, and here's my purpose. I will arise and says that go to my father. I'm gonna arise from the situation I have found myself in. I'm searching for something better, and I know it's at my father's house. I know it's not here, far away from him. I want that closeness that I have had in times past. I want to feel it again. I will arise. I will go to my father. And here's what I'm going to say to him. I have sinned against heaven. There ain't not a person in this congregation that can't say that's not true in their lives. I have sinned against heaven. You know why? Because we're all sinners. One thing we have in common. One thing that every one of us has in common. I am a sinner. I used to hate to hear my granddad say that. Come on, give me a break. I mean, some of us surely are better than others. No, every one of them. I am a sinner. Said, I have sinned against heaven, and look at this, and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You ever thought that about the Lord on high? I'm not worthy of what he gives me. I'm not worthy of the position that he's placed us in. I'm not worthy to be heirs and joint heirs with God. I'm not worthy that everything that's the Lord is ours. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. I haven't told you the Brother Coffee story enough that you might number it, so you might get ready to number this one, because I'm going to tell you again. Brother Coffee, I went to church in Oklahoma City for years. I pastored it the last 3 years we were in Oklahoma. And Brother Coffee was just a great guy. He was advanced in age, but if you we had those big cedar trees and those worms, you know, that get on them, and you would say something, well, somebody needs to spray those. By next Sunday, Brother Coffee would have sprayed them, and they would look beautiful. Say something about, you know, there's a part of a church house that wouldn't, it needs a little bit of painting. By next Sunday, Brother Coffee would have painted it. Brother Coffee was never a member of the church. And I went to him on more than one occasion. I said, Brother Coffee, why? You know what he said? I'm just not worthy. I said, Brother Coffee, I know that. None of us are, but we're here because of the worthiness of Jesus Christ. But evidently, I think as I look at that in years past, evidently something had happened sometime in his life, and he felt like it had just erased his worthiness to be a member of the church. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have that eraser. It's not in your capabilities. You can't erase the kinship that you have. You can't erase the closeness that you have. You can't erase how much He loves you. It goes on and goes far beyond whatever you thought it could be. Brother Coffee died, was never a member of the church. Didn't mean he wasn't a good man. It just means he missed a lot of blessings. Just missed a lot of blessings. I'll tell you this, I love my family. I enjoyed yesterday getting together. I enjoyed that. But I'll just be honest with you. There's not a family reunion I've ever been to that's better than me gathering together with the saints of God that I consider to be spiritual family. And just praise God That's a family reunion, friend. That's a reunion where when we all get home, when all this is over, when we have left this behind and the Lord has come again, there'll be a family reunion there of all the saints of God throughout the ages, throughout the time. And friend, we're not going to be in conversation about how hard was it when you were alive. No, we're going to be looking at Him. We're going to be falling at His feet. We're going to be totally thankful for the blessings He has given us and given us and given us. I'll arise and I'll go to my Father's house. Wow, I didn't know it was that late. Don't look. And he arose and came to his father. Now look at this. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. You know why? Fathers and mothers are like that. My wife has this saying, and she said, Dr. Phil said it, I don't know. She said, the mother is only as happy as her most unhappy child. Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. But afar off, he saw him. I would imagine it went something like this. He said, I thought one time he was on the porch, but you know, they were in tents. They weren't in porches, but he was looking, and up on the horizon, he saw a figure, and the figure began to get a little closer, and he said, I think that's my son. I think that's him. And he continues to pray, Lord, Lord, let it be him. Let him be alive, Father. And he continued to pray. And the figure got closer. And he knew in his heart and his mind, that's my son. And the son has his speech ready. Son said unto him, 21st verse, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be recalled as thy son. And the father said, I told you when you left. I told. No, he didn't say that. You know what? He got him listed. He's making preparation for a big feast. Why? Because I thought my son was dead. But he's not. He's alive. He's alive. And we're going to have a party. I read in the Bible where the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. What did they do? In my mind, they have a party. They rejoice over one sinner that repents. Just one out of humanity. Just one out of the total population of the children of God. Just one that repents. The angels rejoice and his father rejoices. He says, it's my son. And that he makes this preparation. Father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know why? Because your shoes smell like pig, son. put new shoes on. Throw them away. I got something better for you. Just cast aside everything that's been holding you back. I got some new things. Brother JT, he's got some new things. Brother Buster, he's got some new things. Church, he has some new things. Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And here's why. Because my son said, it was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I had the blessed privilege of conducting a funeral service for a dear lady last Monday, and Sister Judy Pittman, we've known the Pittmans forever. Matter of fact, their daughter used to babysit Brad, and and take care of him after school. And she had called wanting to come to McKinney to do the funeral. And one of the requests that she had was, I want us to sing Amazing Grace. And she said, I'm afraid everybody here is not going to know it. So we're on a recording of a cappella and we'll all sing it together. And she said, I would like for you to say some things about the song and about how it was written. And so I did. A song that depicts how we feel. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Every one of us under the sound of my voice today can say amen to that. I once was blind, but now I see. Was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God for the ability to repent from the error of our ways. Praise God that His Son is a forgiving Savior. A Savior that doesn't hold things against us. A Savior that has only the best for us. A Savior that says, get out of the muck. Get out of the mire. Come closer to me. Come where there's peace. Come where there's joy. Come to the sanctuary that I have fixed just for you. I thank you for your attention. I would bring also to your attention that I quit at 12:02 in case I ever need any extra time. As we stand to sing some suitable hymn, let's sing Amazing Grace. As we stand to sing that song, if you have a desire to join the church, this is your opportunity. And after we sing a verse, we'll take the right hand of fellowship. Stand if you will.